Daniel chapter 6, we're going to do one verse. It's verse 10. It is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. You probably read it a bunch of times before. It'll be a few minutes before I get over there, though, so just hold on. I want to tell you, my name once again is Myron Halford. I'm the pastor of Glory Road Cowboy Church for Ballinger, Texas. I don't know what all Corey has told you guys about me, but whatever he has told you about me, it's probably true. I'm just going to tell you right now. I have a PhD. It's a post-hole digger. I keep it in my garage. I have a doctor's degree. It comes in a can called Pepper, Dr. Pepper. And I am very much ADDD. That's attention deficit disorder deliberately. All right? So you better get ready because I am kind of crazy. But I do love the Lord. And I hope you guys love the Lord here and also. And man, it's just been great. I'm telling you guys are just some friendly people. From the minute I hear the first service and walked in, everybody's shaking hands and loving each other. That's what a church is all about, folks, right there, loving people, all right? I used to do a lot of illustrations, but I had to stop doing illustrations when I went to the Cowboy Church. Y'all heard that me and Corey were together at First Baptist Church Brunt, and it was really weird because when he came there, he was 25 years old, and he came there as a pastor, and I was a youth minister, and I was 45 years old. It was like him talking to his grandpa. But anyway, it was still pretty good, but it was pretty sweet. But I used to do a lot of illustrations. I had to quit when I moved to the Cowboy Church because Cowboy people are kind of different, okay? You know, it's just the way it is. For instance, I did this right here. I was telling the illustration of three worms. Have y'all ever heard the three worm illustration? It's three worms and three mason jars. And here's what I did is I brought the church one. I brought three mason jars, and I brought three of them big old night crawlers. And in one of them, I put some secondary smoke, and in the other one, I put a can of beer, and the other one, I put some fresh old dirt in there, some fresh, moist dirt in there. And I was telling them I showed them three mason jars with them three different things in there, and I took a worm, and I put one in the secondary smoke. And then I took one and I put it in the can of the mason jar that had the can of beer in there. And I took the other one and put it in that fresh, moist dirt. And I set them up there and just let people watch them. I said, "Worms." A few minutes went by. I picked up that one in the secondary smoke. And I said, "Now look at this worm. It's dead, folks." I picked up that one in that can of beer and I picked it up and I shook it around a little bit. And I said, "Now you look at this one. It's dead." I picked up that one in that moist dirt, and I shook it around. You can see that worm. He's crawling through there. I said, "Do you people know what the moral of this story is?" There was a 75-year-old woman raised her hand. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "If we smoke and drink, we won't have worms." That's funny. I don't care who you are. So I don't do those. I don't do illustrations very much anymore, all right? Because that'll get you in trouble. Hey, you're going to have to laugh. You're going to have to laugh and get along with me here, or we'll die quick, all right? Hey, this morning, before we get to Daniel chapter 10, verse 5, here's what I want to teach you this morning. Come from the Cowboy Church, this is what I want to share with you. I want to share with you the top five ways to ride a bull. The top five ways to ride a bull are also the top five ways to be a professional Christian. But if you know how to ride a bull, then you can be a good Christian. Now, I know that you're looking at me and you're thinking, "My goodness, I'm looking at your body size and you're probably not a very good bull rider." And you're right, I never was a very good bull rider. Let me tell you how many bulls I rode in my life. None, okay? But I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, all right? There you go. But I do have bull riders to go to church with me, and I have some to go to the cowboy camp with us. So, and they all say the top five reasons. They say the same thing. I looked it up online, and man, I'm going to tell you, folks, it just inspired me that this is also the top five ways to be a professional Christian, because I'm going to tell you right now, as a Christian, you're going to ride a lot of bulls in your life. There's going to be a lot of bulls. Satan is going to send a lot of trials and tribulation your way, and you better know how to ride those bulls. So the top five ways to be a professional bull rider, here they are. If you want to ride them down, because you're going to like them. Number one, you better learn how to bend your knees. If you're going to ride a bull, you got to bend your knees, because you cannot ride a bull straight-legged. If you put your legs straight when you're on a bull, you're going to go that way or this way. You're just going to go one way or the other. For you people that know nothing about animals, try to ride your motorcycle or your four-wheeler straight-legged. It won't work. It just doesn't happen. You got to bend your knees. You thought you just had the pedals just to bend your knees just to keep you like that. It helps keep you balanced. Number two, here's the second thing on how to be a professional bull rider. You got to dig in. That's what those spurs are for that the cowboys wear. They're not to jab a hole in the bull. They're not to cut him up. they're actually to keep the knees bent. That's what they're for. They're to sit up there and to jab it, to put in the bull to make it butt more, but not to hurt the bull, just to make it go more, but also to keep that balance, keep the knees bent. Same way if you ever thought about it with your motorcycle or your four-wheeler. That's why you got pedals. It helps you to hold on, helps you to dig in, helps you to keep your knees bent. That's number two. Number three is this one. You got to pull yourself up close. There's a thing called a bull rope. It's on the front of the bull, and you got to pull yourself up close. I do it with my left hand. I have ridden, but it's just not very often. But you pull yourself up close. You got to be right there at that rope. You cannot slide away from it. You cannot get away from it. If you start sliding away from the rope on the bull and you get on the back of the bull, that's where all his power is. And that's when you become what we call a lawn dart. You know what a lawn dart is? You know, you take those darts and you toss them and they land. Yeah, that's what the bull's going to do to you. He's going to put you off and you're going to fly and you're going to stick in the mud like a lawn dart. That's what's going to happen. And then if your hand gets stuck, then you become a helicopter blade because you're just spinning up there. That's what happens. You got to stay close to the bull rope. You got to stay there. Number four, you got to learn to control your free hand. The free hand cannot touch the bull. I'm hoping that all of you has at least seen bull riding at some time or have been to a rodeo or seen it on TV, but you got to control your free hand. It can't touch the bull. It's got to stay in a position. The reason why the bull riders used to ride like this, they don't ride like that no more. They learned that this thing can be a help to them. So they take their free hand and they put it right here over their head. That way, when they start falling off that way, they can throw their hand over. They go this way, they throw this way. But you can't touch the bull. You got to learn to control your free hand. And number five is this. You got to stay focused. Stay focused on where the bull is going. You watch his shoulders, and if his shoulders go that way, then his rear end, I was going to say butt, but I don't know if you can say butt in his shirts. I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't know. So you got, but his rear end is, it's going to go that way. I'm going to say it, all right? His butt's going to go there where his shoulders are. That's where he's going to go. And if you stay focused and you know his shoulders are going that way, then you know he's going that way, and it'll keep you on. Those five things right there is what makes you a professional bull rider. It's not going to mean you're going to ride every time, but that's going to make you a professional bull rider. That is the same top five ways to how to be a Christian, folks. Same top five. Check this out. Number one, if you want to be a professional Christian, let me just tell you, this is about troubles and trials, and we're going to get there in a minute. There is things that's going to come in your path. They're going to come your way, and you better be ready to fight them. You better be ready to ride them. If not, you're going to wind up in the dirt. He's going to stomp a mud hole in you, all right? So the number one way to be a professional Christian is this right here. You better learn to bend your knees. Amen? You better learn to bend your knees, because if you ain't bending your knees and talking to the master of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, guys, you're going to wind up in the dirt. And down there in the dirt is nasty, and God loves you down there, and he'll pull you out. But that's not where you want to be. The Bible says that he who is lifted up will be abased or be put down. He who is put down will be lifted up. He who is humbled will be lifted up. We got to learn to bend our knees. Number two, y'all like that? I'm a good one. I'm telling you, I got good language too. I'm telling you right now. Number two, will be this. I don't know where I was at. You got to dig in deep. Folks, you need to know what the Word of God says. Amen. Satan uses God's own word to try to knock you down, so you need to know what it says. You need to know how to use this thing. This thing is powerful in a two-edged sword. That's what it says. It is powerful. You need to learn how to use this. You need to read it and study it. I am not one of those guys that walk around with a big Bible under my arm, and every time I hear something bad, I go, boom, hit you over the head with it. That's not what I'm talking about. You just need to know what it says. Those kind of people drive me crazy. I'm telling you right now, they are way too fanatic. They're way out there. You need to dig in deep. Number three, you need to pull yourself up close. You need to be close to God at all times because he's coming. Satan's coming. Here's the deal. It's not if he comes. It's when he comes because he's coming, and he's going to fight you. You need to pull yourself up close. Anybody here, you ever lost your keys, your car keys somewhere, and you're like, dadgum, honey, where did I leave my keys? Well, one guy was actually honest and went, oop, yeah, he did. I saw you back there. You left your keys somewhere and you can't remember where you put them. And then you start thinking, okay, I got home I got out of the house. I had my keys. I put them on the dresser. That's where they're at. And then you go back there. You see, folks, there's a lot of times that we don't feel as close to God as we used to. But I want you to know that he didn't walk away from you. You walked away from him. He never leaves you or forsakes you. And why I said that was about the keys is this right here. Because wherever you left him at, that's exactly where he's at. And he's waiting for you. Go back over there where you left him and find him. Pull yourself up close to God. Because that is a safe spot to be, is close to God. Amen? Please somebody say amen. Whew. Number four, control your free hand as a Christian. Here is what we are bad at. We are bad at this. We don't get mad. We get even, right? When people do something to us and want to mess us up, we want our free hand. We want to just tell them what we think about them. We want to slap a new one on them. We want to hit them or talk bad about them or do something like that. We don't want to control ourselves. But God said revenge is His. It's not our job to run them down or to talk about them or to do something to them. You let God take care of them. You control yourself. You control your free hand. And number five is this one right here. Stay focused on God. If you stay focused on Him and where He's going, He is always going to lead you in a great path. Amen? So see, being a bull rider and being a Christian is pretty well the same thing. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to be in chapter 6. I'm going to tell you the first part of it. I'm already going to read verse 10 for you in just a minute. Let me tell you what's going on. It's Daniel in the lion's den. You know the story. But you're fixing to hear the same five things that I just got through reading. And we're going to get personal with all of you this morning. Here's what's going on. Daniel is there. Daniel has been captured as a kid. He's been brought over there. He's a slave. And they made him a slave, but he just starts serving the king and worshiping the king. Doing what the king tells him to do. And he's just a good guy. Daniel's just a good guy. So the king starts moving him up in his kingdom, and pretty soon, and Daniel's not from that part of the country. But the other one, he's made governors, the King Darius has made governors and stirrups and lieutenants and all those other, they're all from that country. Daniel is the only foreigner that is there. He comes there, but he does what King Darius said, and he does his job. And what happens is King Darius finally says, you know what? I'm going to make Daniel over part of my kingdom one day. It makes the other guys jealous. It makes them jealous, and they don't like it, so they try to find a way to get Daniel out of there. And in other words, Daniel is fixing to ride a bull by the name of jealousy. He's fixing to get on a bull by the name of jealousy because the other guys are jealous. Are jealous because he's moving up and he's not even from that country. So they start walking around looking at Daniel, trying to find him do something wrong, but they can't find him doing anything wrong. The only thing that they can see that he's doing is asking help from God. That's the only thing they can see, and that's not bad, but they're thinking, hey, that's our only out. We're going to have to do something to get Daniel out of the way. So they go to King Darius and said, King Darius, this is what we want to do. We don't think anybody should ask for help from anybody else except from you, and that's the only person. Of course, King Darius is like, well, that sounds pretty dang good to me. I like that. So King Darius makes a decree, and he says, anybody who asks from anybody else except for me will be cast into the den of lions. He makes that decree, and this is what Daniel does. Daniel chapter 10. I'm also dyslexic. That's less distic backwards, you know. Race car is the same way both ways. Stress backwards is dessert. I'm really good at that kind of stuff, all right? All right, that was a free one for you. This is Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Look what he did after he heard that King Darius had made that decree. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks, thanks to his God. Just as he had always done before. You see that, folks? A bull named Jealousy came his way, and what did he do? He did the top five things that Christians, godly people, should do. He got down on his knees. Did you see that? He got down on his knees, it said, three times a day. Did I just slobber on myself? I'm sorry if I did that. I'm just countrified, all right? That's all I am. He got down on his knees three times a day, just like he had always done. Number one, remember it? Number two, he dug in deep. He got down on his knees and he opened the windows toward Jerusalem and started watching, praying towards Jerusalem. Number three, he pulled himself up close to God. Did he not? Number four, he controlled his free hand. He didn't try to run those people down. that put him in that shape. He didn't start talking bad about him. He didn't go plead his case with King Darius. He controlled his free hand. You know why? Because he knew. He knew that God would take care of the problem. He just had to ride the bull. And number five, he stayed focused on God, did he not? That's pretty cool stuff. I don't even care if it is some old weird guy telling you that up there. That's pretty cool. He rode that bull because he did the top five ways the bull riders do. Did you see what happened after that? What happened after that was, after he got on the bull and he was riding, well, let me go on with the story. It says that King Darius, after he had made that deal, the guys had caught him asking God for help. When he saw him asking for help, well, they went tattletale like a bunch of little babies. They went up to Darius and said, Hey, King, we saw Daniel. You know what he was doing? He was asking for help from God. And Darius was like, oh, man, he knew he had messed up. So he called Daniel and he said, Daniel, man, I got to put you in the den of lions because I made a decree. There's no way out of it. He was about to get on that bull. And you see what happened is they lowered him down to the den of lions. And he stayed there all night long. The next morning, I'm going on in chapter 6. I'm just telling it to you. Going on in chapter 6, it says the next morning, the King Darius went toward the den. And he said, oh, I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Oh, Daniel, did your God keep you? And Daniel answered back. He said, oh, King Darius, my God has shut the mouths of the lions. Woo-hoo! That's good. Thank you. I like that guy. Cool, man. But you know why? Because he did those top five things. You know what happened after that? And this is a little side note. King Darius called those men that had Daniel thrown in the lion's den, their wives and their children, and all of them were thrown in the den of lions, and the lions ate them. Side note for you. Men, what you do affects your family. It affects your children and it affects your wife. So stay close to God. Here's what I want to close with this morning. I don't care who you are in this room. We all got bulls to ride. They're going to come our way. Satan is going to send them. I don't know what the name of you. You have one coming down the alleyway right now. Or you have one in the chute. Or you're on him. And he's in a dead out spin into your bad hand. And he's got snot coming out and slobber all over the place. And he's got horns that long. And he's trying to knock you off so he can get you in the dirt and stomp all over you. And if you ain't ready, it's going to happen. I don't know what the name of your bull is this morning. Maybe the name of your bull is bankrupt. Maybe the name of, and like I say, every bull has a name. The top three bulls in the world right now is Asteroid, Mickey Mouse, and High Flyer. I don't know where Mickey Mouse came from, but it's a creepy little looking guy. Anyway, I don't know what the name of your mouse is. Maybe it's bankrupt. Maybe it's divorce. Maybe it's marriage problems. Maybe it's death. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's depression. But all of us have bulls we got to ride. And if you ain't remembering those top five things, Satan's going to put you in the dirt and he's going to stomp all over you. Are you ready? Because they're going to come. Maybe you're here this morning and you're already on that bull and he is spinning out of control. Just because you weren't ready, and there's a lot of people that things happen to and they come and they're not ready. Maybe you weren't ready. My Bible teaches us that he will pull you out of the myrrh and the mire and out of the mud. Maybe you're in it. I'd love to pray with you this morning. But maybe you see a bull that's coming. A problem is coming, folks, in your life. Out of money, no job. I don't know what jalapeno, I don't know what the name of your bull is. But if you ain't ready, he's going to take you down. And if you see him coming, I'd love to pray with you too. Let me tell you something we do at the Cowboy Church. We're going to do this right now. We're fixing to have our invitation. I'm going to pray. That's it. I don't go long. That's it. And if God is speaking to you this morning, I want you to come. You can bow down here at these altars and you can pray. Either that or you can stand up here and I'll pray with you. I'll stand down here and I'll pray with you. I'm going to get out of their way and I'll pray with you. But don't pass up an opportunity. Because I want to tell you this right now. If God has spoke to you this morning and you don't get up and walk out, it's your own fault what happens to you because you chose not to listen to him. I'm trying to give you liver chivers or whatever because that's scary. But I'm going to pray. And once I say amen, I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads or close your eyes. Cowboy up. Because if there's something in your life that's going on, get up and walk down here and pray or let me pray with you. Because if you're too proud to get up and to walk down here, then you got a bull to ride. His name is pride. And for the rest of you that are sitting there, everything's going good. And you see these people walking down here the aisle, hopefully, I want you to talk about them to Jesus Christ. Don't gossip about him, because if you're going to do that, then you got a bull to ride too, and his name's gossip. If you call yourself a Christian, you need to start praying for them people because they need your help. Amen? Let's pray, and then it's your turn to react. Father God, Lord, I've spoken your words this morning, the words that you wanted me to speak. I don't know if anybody's going to respond or not. Maybe everybody in here is just doing just peachy and everything is great. But I know as for me in my life, those bulls are always coming in a pen. And Lord, as we close this out, we close this service out, we call this a squeeze chute. We're all round up and around, we're all in the round pen of life. And I sure would hate for any people to leave here sick, bound, depressed, when they could come and get some medicine from you. I pray, Lord, as I say amen here in a few minutes, Lord, that if there's anybody that just needs a touch from you, that there's a bull in their life that needs to be taken down by you, that you'll do it, that they'll come. As soon as I ask in your name, amen.